It's just fabulous to see him alive and up and picking her up.
Jenner's running that team. Jenner's running you.
The thing about the club is you don't choose your club. It's like family.
You want to get back out on the field. It's just that it's in your blood, I suppose. And you just want to get out there now and get the games going again.
Brian Murray, let me shake hands with you. You came in here hobbling. How are you feeling now?
Oh, I'm all right. I'll tell you nothing but a couple of pints won't do, I'll tell you, you know.
He gets a bit behind it. He launches it in. It's over the bar. The wee man from Chichar.
Yeah, there's the hooter. Donegal have defeated Dublin in the opening round of the National Football League. 1-20 points to Dublin's 20 points. Donegal's first victory in the capital in the National Football League since 1994. And that game here, just off Jones's Road as well. Donegal won 20, Dublin 20 points. Shea Malone's goal on his league debut has separated the sides. Martin McHugh, we're absolutely freezing up here, but it's slightly more warming when you come away with 2 points.
Yeah, Michael Langan, a Seagull man of the match, and TG Carr, but my man of the match would have been Finn Berorty, and I thought he was brilliant all through from start to finish. But Gavin Mulroney had a very solid game, made a couple of good saves. Now, they weren't hard the second half, did well as well, very close to being man of the match as well. But anyway, what difference? The 2 points is the most important thing on the board, and it's good, obviously, as you said, to come to Croke Park and get our 2 points and be very happy with the performance. Got young players. Shea Malone got the goal on his debut, brilliant finish. And you know, as Kieran Gallagher came on and made his debut, Conor McCall came on and made it for a debut as well. And all round, you'd have to be happy, you know, with the start. The important thing is the 2 points. You probably should have won by more than three, Paddy. First half, brilliant. We had 10 wides, Dublin's 10 wides in the whole game. First half, brilliant. Second half, you know, maybe Donegal weren't as good in the second half, you know, as they were in the first half. But they did enough and always looked like they had enough in them. Now, suppose from a neutral point of view, the big story that from a neutral point of view will be Dublin, because they weren't great. Now they've a long road ahead of them to build it back up, and you know, we have to give Brendan McCall credit again for the performance and Conor Callan, but Conor Callan doesn't have the same players around him. No, they have Brannock did well when he came on the second half. I know they've Kilkenny to go and do and make a difference too, but they've a fair bit of work. But anyway, it's a good 2 points. It's going to be a difficult league. The fact that we played Monaghan and Roscommon the last two games, you know, so we'll be better playing them maybe earlier. People maybe say the two will go down. It's hard to know. League football takes on a new dimension of its own, so Donegal would have to be happy. And we're leaving here, Paddy. We don't want many big league games in Dublin, as you did say early on, so we're leaving here with the 2 points, and that was important thing.
The purple patch just before half time is really what did the damage. Donegal, you said in the first 15 to 20 minutes Donegal should have been 5 or 6 ahead in terms of possession, midfield dominance and so on, but Donegal had used a lot of energy and it was 6 all, and it was slightly frustrating despite Donegal playing against the elements. However, that 1-3, that blitzkrieg really separated, and I think it deflated Dublin, yeah, didn't it? Shea Malone's goal as well.
Yeah, well, Shea Malone's funny, but I just think looking at it, the first half, Donegal were very, very good. I thought it was a brilliant performance, Donegal, the first half. How good? I don't know how good Dublin were. They were disappointing. You'd have to say it wasn't. That's probably the worst Dublin team I've seen in a while watching, you know, looking at it, you know. So, you know, from the point of view, I know they're sharp players and everything else, but they wouldn't be having the first half. The second half performers were a lot better, you know, and you expected a big fight from them at half time anyway. But I think, look, when we look at it, you know, that period before half time won the game for us, because we were making silly mistakes, goals, balls wide, balls in goalkeepers' hands, everything else. But we did it. We got that 1-3 there then, going from 6-6 to 1-9 to 6. That's probably, that goal always was between them and the end up made the difference. So listen, it's a game we deserve to win, maybe deserve to win by more. So look forward to the All-Ireland champions coming to Father Tierney Park next Sunday. So that's Paddy, that's really it. And all round good. I thought it was a good performance. We didn't seem to pick up any injuries, which is makes it even better again.
Yeah, there's no doubt about that. So just going through the team, I suppose Donegal, I was going to say beforehand the team was released, started with 7 of the team that started against Kerry in the All-Ireland final, but of course Michael Langan came in, Ryan McHugh came in, and Finn Berorty came in, so you're still looking at what, 10 players. So It did end up a lot more inexperienced. Paul O'Hare didn't start, Donal McGillivray didn't start, and Kieran Gallagher. Overall, who impressed you? You've mentioned one or two already.
Yeah, I thought Finbarr-Rorty was brilliant. I thought when it mattered, he was brilliant to me. Now, you know, Finbarr-Rorty, Brian McCullough, Gavin Mooney had a great game in goals. Got the 2 2-pointers when it mattered. You know, Kieran McColgan was unlucky that one time he got caught with possession of the ball. Brian McCullough did a brilliant job. You know, which was the job to do, was to do a marking job in Conor Callan. You know, that was good. Ryan McHugh, particularly in the first half, handled a lot of ball, kicked a good point. Kieran McGonigal, always steady, and then came late with that good score. Padraig Mogan again, particularly maybe in the first half, got a lot of ball. Hugh McFadden had a very good 15 minute spell in that second half, and Jason McGee was all over the place and did get his hands on ball. I'd like to see more from him. He's a big man with a pile of football in him, and just could do anything maybe on a field. Darrow Beale, the 2-pointer were important, and then the point from play. Shane O'Donnell just needs to work on his scoring. Other than that, he handled a side of ball. Kieran Moore again, excuse me, the first half, Paddy, Kieran Moore was handled a lot of ball. Conor O'Donnell wouldn't matter, got the scores. And you know, when Shane Malone gets the goal, and you know, we look at Michael Langan, man of the match, and kick big 2-pointers, the big 2-pointer free, and then the one from play, and then he got the score. So all round, and then the boys came off the bench. I mean, you know, we look at it, Owen Bann was very good when he came on. He carried that ball when we needed the ball to be carried out of defence. I thought maybe the wee bit of a difference, Donegal had more pace than Dublin. Donegal looked to be fitter than Dublin, even this time of year, looked to be fitter than that there. But you know, we look at, you know, the players, Owen Bann Geller, you know, we talked about Turlough Garrett, just wasn't long enough on. It's great Conor McCall to get on and get playing at that stage, you know. And
it's a good squad, Martin, isn't it? Because there was a lot made last year, or I suppose in the last few weeks, about Niall O'Donnell not being available. We knew Ord McFadden Ferry wouldn't be available. Aaron Doherty and your own clubman Paddy McBurty going. But I would imagine, Martin, and you've been involved in Donegal teams before, where there's an infusion of youth being added, and I would imagine that raises standards, even though you're missing a lot of good squad players. But let's be honest, a lot of players that maybe weren't playing a huge amount over the past couple of years.
No, they will be a miss because they're experienced, especially the Paddy McBurty's and the Niall O'Donnell's, you know, and even Oran Doherty coming off the bench, and Aaron Doherty, them. They know the experience they had, Jack McKelvey, different players like that. Well, you know, the experience that they had, you know, coming into a game. But look, we've young lads as hungry and eager going into it as well. And think about it. Look, that's the end of the All Ireland final now after the day. We're back in Croke Park here, got a good victory against Dublin in the home game. We move on now to this year, and we look forward to Kerry coming. Then we get a wee break of a week and everything else. The league is important from the point of view of staying up in the league and everything else. And, you know, I think an important thing is we stay up in the league and keep playing Division 1 football. Jim was at the county board meeting the last day, and he said he remembers the first time we played in Division 1 football. It was about 1988 or something like that there. But he's saying he wants to stay in Division 1, so that's a good start, Paddy, to stay in Division 1. We'll get down the road the night, everybody or whatever, and get ready for next weekend for the All-Ireland Champions coming. And, you know, that'll be a big game because we need, no harm to beat Dublin 1 week and Kerry the next week, and we need to, even though it's only a league game, we just need to lay down a marker to Kerry as well.
Last year, Martin, the proximity between the league and the championship was, I think we'll all agree, slightly ridiculous. Like, you had no time, and a lot of teams got criticised for how they treated every game in the league. You know, a lot of teams were, I suppose, deciding, they were picking and choosing, but you can understand because, as I said, the proximity between league and championship. This year, I could be wrong, I think Donegal play Monaghan on the 22nd or 23rd of March, whatever, that's Sunday. Donegal play Down, it's the last first round game, there's no preliminary for Donegal this year, 26th of April. So that's 5 Sundays I make it from the last league game. So this year might be a little bit different if you want a league final.
They're going to go on a training camp anyway. So you could go for the league this year. Look, it'd be nice to go for the league. Suppose Jim McGuinness never won the McKenna Cup. He's won the McKenna Cup. He's never won the league. So no harm to go for the league. And I think definitely if you get that situation, you will have a go at it. And the more games we, you know, probably not seeing Croke Park you get, but for the younger lads, the more games you get in Croke Park, the better. So yeah, Paddy, there'd be no reason why not to go for the league this year, because it's completely different. And, you know, get ready for down in the first round when they come to O'Donnell Park in the first round and be ready for it. And I think, you know, the preparation of a league final, then having the training camp, and I mean, let's get ready. So we know the preparation, you know, Donegal's preparation will be good, but it will be a wee bit different this year. No preliminary round. You know, it's not as, you know, you would hope that Ulster wouldn't be as tough this year as it was, and then the new system is going to help the thing as well. But the important thing about the new system, Paddy, is you want to get to the Ulster final, because it means that, what, you get a home game or whatever in the first round of the thing. So that's important too. So, you know, the provincial championships, they're always, the provincial council is always going to leave me the provincial championship very important, and that's what it is. So you need to get there. So that's down the road. The first step is, I suppose, winning the McKenna Cup was the first thing. Now the next thing is is now staying in the league and getting there in the league and whatever distance you go on and go on it. But the league's a great competition and there's going to be great games in the league. There is great games Paddy, in this league, and started there today. This, you know, I think there'll be a lot of talk about Donegal tomorrow, that Donegal are maybe the closest rivals to Kerry in the country. That's what seems to be talked around here, and I'll say after today, because I think that was a real polished, good performance by Donegal. A wee bit of lapse in the second half, but otherwise, it's a good performance.
People will be asking on the podcast, and they'll be asking all, what did Donegal need to change this year? My answer back is, I don't think Donegal... The great Bielsa, you would know him, he was Leeds manager. Somebody asked him one day, they said, what about, how do you, you know, what's your plan B? And he says, plan B? There is no plan B in sport. He says, do plan A better. Donegal were very close last year. You would think the way some people are talking, they lost the first round Ulster and they were playing in Division 4. And I remember, not to digress, Niamh Conlon lost two county finals in a row when your own son Mark was on a podcast. And I asked Mark up in Donegal Town, do Niamh Conlon need to change? Niamh Conlon need to change. What do they need to do different? He says, Paddy, they don't need to rip up the entire script. They just need to do what they're doing a little bit better. Like, Donegal lost a final last year, weren't that far away. There's not this two new magic game plan the teams are going to come out. Yeah. People talk about kicking and kicking. Very few teams kick now. Even Kerry, Martin. Yeah. So, do Donegal need to do much?
No, I don't think they need to change any. I mean, we have to be serious about Donegal. We don't get to All-Ireland finals like Kerry, who's in Dublin, do we? Look, it wasn't a great achievement to get to All-Ireland finals. This is an exceptional Kerry team. And, you know, and they had all the hunger last year. They felt that, that, you know, their own ex-players turned on them in Kerry. That gave them motivation to jack a corner in the squad. Then they had the whole Ulster thing. They wanted to beat every Ulster team and they went out. And they came with physical, you know, people say a physical power and everything else. I mean, at one stage in the second half, did Donegal miss a chance, was going to take it back right close, Paddy, back in the second half. So, do you change anything? No. Just maybe, you know, the next year we would, Kerry won't be as hungry next year, this Kerry team. I know people say get the final minute. So, things are going to be a wee bit different in my opinion. It's going to be a wee bit different everywhere next year. So, no need to change anything. Get these young lads in, get them ready. That's a way down the road and everything else. Every game will be different. But look, at isn't it great that we're competing at the top table? We're coming up here, favourites to beat Dublin. We beat Dublin. We were favourites going into the All-Ireland final last year. I mean, you should have been kicking the ball. Five Kerry players didn't kick the ball last year. So, you know, a bit of luck and a bit of injuries and everything else can make a difference. Things can be totally different in a different year, but there's no doubt Kerry are the best team in the country. They were the best team in the country last year. They got the motivation last year, and I think it'll be a bit different for them this year. Is there any team in the country can stop them? Or are we the closest to them? We won't know until we see Kerry, maybe not even tomorrow against Roscommon. We see them down the road. But isn't it great times for Donegal? It's brilliant, Paddy. We're competing at the top table and we're up there with the top two or three counties. We couldn't, a couple of years ago, we wouldn't have said that in Ireland. So, look, at I think it's great times.
Okay, up next, it's Donegal manager Jim McGuinness and the 100-man Keelan McGonigal. Here's the Donegal manager first when he spoke to various reporters in the immediate aftermath of his side's victory.
Very, very difficult conditions and a really strong breeze there, and we had to take the sting out of it in the first half. I thought we did that really well, and as you say, the goal made a difference then on the scoreboard at half-time. Obviously, Dublin came very hard in the second half. They were much more direct running at us. They overloaded it on their own kick-out and we struggled to get our big men to match, and for about a 10-minute period, they really done damage on their own kick-out, and then they probably scored off every one of them as well, you know. So we had to try and find a way to get more bodies across to the strong side and compete with them more in the second half. But listen, that's always going to happen, you know. Whatever tactic is working at a given moment, somebody's going to counteract that, and they were very, very direct in the second half. I don't know what their scoring average was, but a shot to score ratio, but I would say it was very high. It felt like they scored on every attack maybe for the first 10 or 15 minutes, you know. So listen, that's a couple of things right away that we'll be looking at heading into next week. But at the same time, there was a lot of good performances. We kept the ball really well. You know, we had good moments ourselves from an incision point of view, and asked questions ourselves. And it's just probably what you expect this time of year.
100th appearance for Keelan McGonigal was a serious milestone.
Definitely, and he had a baby not so long ago, and he's just kind of back in the fold with us, and kicked the point at the end as well, which was lovely. A lovely way for him to sign off, if you like. Been a real warrior for Donegal up to this point, and hopefully there's plenty more years left in him.
And finally, for me, just the whole fact of getting points in the board early, looking into a campaign, I think Kerry next week you have, so the campaign just, it's going to be potentially a good spot for young bucks to come in and play.
No,
newcomers, because you have injuries.
Yeah, no, it's good. And once you get points on the board, like, you don't have to take any risks as well. You know, that's the reality with injuries and stuff like that. So getting the points on the board are important. But at the same time, had we not got points on the board tonight, we wouldn't have panicked. We know what we want out of the league. You know, we want to try and get everybody up to speed for the summer, develop a bit of depth, you know, develop the young players and give people opportunities and stuff. So that won't change, you know, over the next number of games. But as I say, you know, coming away from home and getting 2 points on the board first night out, we'll take that.
Jim, you're back in Croke Park. It's first time since last July. So you get a win and then Kerry next week with Electus Park. What happened last summer? Very quickly now in the new year.
Say that again, sorry?
Will Alecce Park, what happened last summer?
We've already parked it. That game's long gone. That game's long gone. We're heading for 2026 now and focusing on that, you know. So now there's no issues there, there's no residue there. We're back on the horse, as they say, and we've won our first game and we'll see what happens next weekend.
What was the biggest lesson you took from the entire 25 season into what you might need in 2026?
Listen, that's a conversation that would last a half an hour, I think. You know, there was so much. It was a long season for us, and there were so many games, and there were so many big games that we played in. You know, there's a hell of a lot of learnings you take from it, you know, positive and negative, that you're trying to bring in to the game, and the game's changing all the time as well, and rules and all that type of stuff, you know. So, no, listen, we just take it game at a time. That's where we're at, game at a time, and looking forward to the next one now, which is... next Sunday.
Michael mentioned some of the young lads that got a debut today. When do you know that these fellas are ready to go for inter-county football?
That's a good question. Listen, your gut tells you, I suppose, in many respects. You know, you see them in training every night, and every single thing that they do in training, they're judged on. So is all the other players. But, you know, particularly younger players, you're like, can he do that? Can he do that? Can he do that? You know, can he control the ball under pressure when the big squeeze comes on? Can he deal with that? You know, can he find a half a metre of space when people are doubling step very, very, very aggressively in us in the second half? And that had an impact on our play. Bits and pieces like that, you're looking for those types of things, and you're looking for them to sort of tick boxes and say, no, he can, yes he can, and he's done it again. We should be giving him a chance, and let's see how it goes, you know. And there's going to be ups and downs with them, there's no doubt about that, and you expect that anyway for young lads, you know. But that's all parts, really all down to the opposition, how well they start games, the wind is a big element, how you want to finish the game, how many players you have on the pitch that you believe can control the ball against the breeze, how many shooters you've started with. There's so many elements to it, like, that you really, it's one thing that you have to, it's one thing that's important now with the twos, that you have to understand what the weather's going to do, and you have to understand what team you want to start with and what team you want to finish with, and you have to have flexibility because you don't know if you're going to win the toss or not. And so yeah, listen, it's just one of those things that gives you a bit of a headache in the dressing room for 15 or 20 minutes trying to work it out, and then you lose the toss anyway, you know. The game at the minute now is a game of kickouts. Like, you've seen that yourself, you know. We want, like everybody else, we want to get our hands on the ball, but sometimes it's very, very difficult. And we had a lot of big players on the pitch tonight, you know, to try and compensate for the fact that you're going to have to go long at times. And Dublin were the same, you know, and they were very competitive and very very dominant in the second half for periods, you know. So yeah, listen, kickouts are a bit like the last question, you know. They're always changing, they're always conversations. They'll be different for every team. Some teams will go man-to-man, some teams will go zonal, some teams like to cheat really early and get numbers around the ball. So it's whatever's coming down the track, you just have to have a plan for it in the week of the game, and that's up for change as well. So it's one of those other ones where you're constantly kind of working out in your head what's the best thing to do.
You mentioned the word zonal there. Sorry to take you back again, but after the All-Ireland final last year, there was so much talk about the zonal defence and the way they just played that day. And I suppose we haven't had a chance to talk to you properly about it in the aftermath. And like, do you look back on that now and think that you could still win an All-Ireland playing with that set of, that style of defence, or do you think that you will have to change? Well,
we just played the last 25 minutes zonally.
Yeah, I'm asking. I'm not saying you can't or you can't. No. I'm just asking.
I don't have an opinion. You guys are the ones that have the opinions. Use of the opinions, we just do our work, that's the bottom line. Like, I don't listen to anybody, I just coach the team. So there's loads of opinions out there, and there's loads of people saying loads of things, you know, but at the end of the day, that doesn't have any impact in my thinking whatsoever. I don't listen to those people. Most of them have never coached at inter-county level. Most of them have never stood on a sideline. Most of them never won anything as a coach. So I don't take counsel from people. I only take counsel from people that have been there and done that. If it's an All-Ireland one manager or a top coach, I'll listen to them and I'll listen to what they have to say. But I don't listen to anybody outside of that because it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. Otherwise, they should be on the sideline competing against me. So there's a lot of noise and there's a lot of talk. We're going to do what we feel is right every single day, and that won't change. And just because 10 people say that's what happened and that's the right thing, that doesn't mean that's going to change our mind the next time round. If we feel it's the right thing to do, that's what we'll do. That'll always be the case. You cannot have a situation where outside influences impact on your group. And thankfully, that has been the case, you know. So that's football, like, you know, and I learned that a long time ago. You know, there's loads and loads of people with opinions. There's loads of people that have opinions that are having that opinion to have a go at you. There's loads of people that have the opinion because that's what they believe. All of that's in the mix. But at the end of the day, you know all that and you don't listen to that. You just get on with going to the pitch, trying to coach the lads and trying to win football games. And that's not going to change in the summer. And if you want to run with that or anybody else, run away with it. But it'll not impact on how we approach games. Definitely not. You know, we played 11 games last year and nobody was complaining. Do you know what I mean? Like, so we'll decide what's right and we won't be listening to anybody else.
Yes, I'm delighted to be joined by Ciarán McGonigal, Buncrana and Donegal. How do you feel after that one? Before I actually get your answer, congratulations. 100th appearance today for the Green and Gold.
Aye, thank you. A nice honour, as I was saying. It's, at the minute, it's probably bigger for my family and for my club and stuff, and that's something I'll look back on in years. But nice to top it off with a win as well. Now, good to see a few new, fresh faces getting the pitch and start off the league with 2 points.
Did I read during the week you didn't even know you were on sitting on 99?
None of us boys kind of know what we're on. Like, you have a wee bit of an idea, you may be getting close or something like that, but somebody came to me during the week and told me that McKenna Cup was 99, so...
Did I hear your father recently as well? Congratulations!
Busy month, but... Nah, obviously exciting times in my house, and again, as I keep saying to everyone that's asking me, it's like my Ciarán will be doing a lot of the heavy lifting there when I'm away at training and away at games and stuff, so... No, exciting times, but good to have them helping at home as well.
It's a baby boy as well, isn't it? Oisín, is that right? Ciarán, well, all the best there. And listen, 100, an amazing achievement. Overall, we'll get back to the football, I suppose. Overall, really impressive win. What did you make of it?
Good. We're first half, like, we kind of established ourselves and built up a bit of a lead. Probably missed more than we would have hoped. Second half, kind of let them back into it. But again, a few of the fresh faces came in, got control of the ball then again near the end and kicked a couple of scores to just do enough.
Martin McHugh was with me in commentary when it was 6-6. We were probably frustrated from, I suppose, a supporter's point of view. We're all supporters up in the stand. You actually had large scale of possession. You were dominating even around the middle at that time, but it was all square. But then that purple patch was huge, wasn't it? 1-3 without reply before half time.
The goal was massive. Like, it's a big score. There are not many goals in the game. So big score, and then to back it up with a couple of points, like, that gave us a wee gap going into half time. So, again, good to have the lead at half time, but probably should have pushed on a wee bit more in the second half and didn't. We just kind of held on and ended up.
How important is the league for Donegal this year?
It's always important. You're playing the top teams and everybody's getting minutes under the belt and new faces are getting a chance to impress and all things like that. So, you want to build a bit of momentum and try things out and stuff. So, good to be playing good, competitive, hard games.
Obviously, a couple of lads gone from the panel, like every squad and like any Donegal team ever, but there's some amount of youth there now. What are they adding to the overall squad and to training?
Oh, that's it. They're bringing a freshness, they're bringing new personalities, new energy, and again, you can see the game's fast paced and all these players coming in are rapid, so that helps us when we're attacking and stuff. So good to have them in, bringing new energy and very positive for the whole group.
It's really striking for me watching objectively from the outside, even from, I would imagine, from when you started playing, teams are just coming back in pristine shape now. I couldn't get over the pace even of the McKenna Cup game, so
that's it. Like, one team's doing it, everyone has to do it, and if you're not doing it, you're going to be behind. So the game's just come on that much, and it's all about athleticism and speed at the minute, so you can't afford to let yourself slip over the winter.
It's a new year, but were the last couple of months, when mentally or did you mentally get over the end of July last year?
When a new season starts, you just have to move on. As Jim says himself in interviews, that the good thing about football is the competition starts again the following year. So that's just what we've had to do. The league starts now and you start to get building again towards the summer.
Last one, Kerry next week?
Kerry next week. It's always a tough game. What more can I say? The last game we played them didn't go the way we want. So again, we'll be going to win that game like we do every game. And that's the main one, keep building some momentum.
Promise is the last one. What's it like having 100 appearances for Donegal? Like, what does playing for the county mean to you?
Ah, it's a privilege. Like, there's how many people play in Gaelic football in Donegal, and only 30, 35, 15 get on the pitch in a given day. So that's a big honour. But as I say, 100th game is probably bigger for my parents and for my club and so on. And whenever I'm finished, I'll look back at it. But for now, it's just next game, next game, next game.
You better go for something, Dita. I'm holding you here a long time. Caelan McGonigal, congratulations on the win, but more importantly, having a new baby son in the house and 100 appearances for Donegal.
Good man, thanks.
Yes, Caelan McGonigal there, and before that, Donegal manager Jim McGuinness. Okay, up next, it's sports journalists Alan Foley and Frank Craig.
Okay, Donegal won 20, Dublin 20 points. Donegal's first victory, as we've said already, in the capital in the National League since 1994. Delighted to be joined here by Frank Craig and Alan Foley, the gruesome twosome, the dynamic duo. Lads, thanks a million. I annoyed you enough last year to come on the podcast, so I thought you were going to ignore me this year, Frank.
No, we're just warming up there after being outside and the wind and the rain. But always great to get back to Croke Park and great to get back to get a one over Dublin, because I suppose under Jerry Brennan, Paddy, there's such a big microscope on them. You know, they need to be seen to be winning games, so they probably target this as much as Donegal did. And the scary thing was that Donegal were so comfortable at halftime against the Breeze, 6 points clear, but now Dublin, in fairness, improved significantly in the second half, and right at the very end there, tagging on two late points in the end, but it was young Shane Malone's goal just before halftime that made the difference.
Okay, so we heard from Jim McGuinness on the podcast. Now, I was taking robbing Jim McGuinness's audio off used to, lads, so we're just outside the dressing room here, so I wasn't actually in it, despite our listeners listening to it, but I will listen back. What kind of form was he in, Alan? Say anything interesting?
Yeah, he was in good form. I think this was a game that I think Donegal, with the way it was, thought there's a serious opportunity here to, you know, to pick up a win, which doesn't happen, as you said, too often in the league here in Croke Park. Jim was in good enough form. I think you give a fair enough assessment of the game as always. The first half, Donegal controlled the game quite well but missed a lot of chances. I think at one stage their scoring accuracy was only 33%. It's at about 25 minutes into the half. Second half, Dublin came into it more, I suppose. You know, they reeled off, 13 one-pointers, I believe, was it? No two-pointers. And I suppose in that second half, it was really the abilities of Michael Langan, I think, that got Donegal over the line. We were kind of curious at halftime as to whether Donegal hadn't overly kind of been a team going for two-pointers before. We thought with the Breeze, you know, the opportunity there, the Breeze always seems to come in here towards the Davin. And I think they executed that quite well. But Jim McGuinness, yeah, he was in good enough form. There was a few questions kind of dragged back to last year's All-Ireland final. And I suppose the fact Donegal are due to play Kerry this coming weekend in Ballyshannon. He kind of told people he will listen to certain opinions, and if people have stood on the line there at Croke Park or if you know, walk the walk, that's fine with him. He said otherwise, you know, he doesn't really take too much on board of what certain people say. I wouldn't say it was a rant or anything like that now, but he definitely kind of made his point and got it across quite forceful. So it was interesting enough night, I suppose, for the first night in the league, Paddy.
Can be frustrating for managers, though, and I know we all like to talk in the media, supporters like to talk, but when you're in the sideline or you're the local man in the pub, there's no consequences to what you think a Donegal team should do or any team should do. So if you're saying he should be marked, he should be playing, the reality is, even though this is from coaching in Longford this year, that you meet guys in the pub and they're like, why is he not playing? Why is he playing? And you're going, yeah, but you don't really know what's going on. Donegal lost a football match against an exceptional football team last July with three generational forwards. They had a good year, Frank, so you can see why he's a bit pissed off.
They had a brilliant,
what's part and parcel of it?
They've had a brilliant 2 years just with the backdrop of, you know, three seasons ago under Paddy Carr. I mean, just accelerated progress, but probably progress that we knew Donegal probably had the players and the ability to be where they're at. And under Jim McGuinness, what are we chatting? That's four first time around, six seasons. You know, he's made three All-Ireland finals. Like, that's what Jim McGuinness probably expects of Donegal all the time. But it always seems to take him to, you know, to come back. This is a second spell. He probably didn't expect to be back, but he's come back. He's improved them significantly. And I guess, I suppose, the bit of heat under the collar in there, it's kind of come down to, people have looked back at that game now in the postmortem as, you know, Donegal's zonal marking game is outdated and it can't win you all Ireland finals. And I think that's what he kind of took umbrage with there. I mean, it's not a black and white argument like that there. I think there's loads of shades of grey, because you wonder if Jason McGee had to have been fit last year, maybe if Q McFadden maybe had a start, like, would we compete it better maybe around the middle? Would we have fared better in that game? I don't think it's throwing baby out with the bathwater stuff where zone marking's totally, you know, not going to win you games now. And I suppose, like, we look back on that there game I watched over Christmas, strange enough, it wasn't the horrible 70 minutes that I'd felt it was when I was there and then, you know, present last summer. Like, Donegal got that game back to 4 points, I think, three occasions. Missed chances it would have cut the gap back to three. So Donegal probably have looked back at that there. And yeah, listen, they probably are going to have to be a bit more expansive this year. But under these new rules, like, we still don't know how the game's going to settle. Like, teams will be bringing things to the table that maybe worked last year. I'm sure Donegal will be trying different things. And listen, it's a long way back to an All-Ireland final. It's first round of National Football League. They've got two very good points in Dublin. But again, like, people probably just want to look back at that there and find out what Jim thinks went wrong. But I don't think Jim McGuinness is going to tell us what he thinks. He says he's had some honest, sort of frank discussions with players. He says he's met them all individually on a one-on-one basis. So as the season goes ahead, it's going to be very interesting to see, does Donegal's play evolve? What they bring to the table that's new? Well, what they bring to the table is new is a lot of youngsters that have come into the equation. Like, Shane Malone grabbed a goal there the night. Fumber Rorty, I know he's not a youngster, he's not new to the panel, but he's only improving. I thought he was brilliant there again this evening. So I think the time to start looking at Donegal and what they're going to try, if anything different, it's probably come Championship. But no, early days yet, late January, and a very, very cold Crow Park. I don't think anybody's too concerned yet with the direction Donegal are heading.
To the victors come the spoils, though. I watched the Donegal-Kerry game loads. It's funny, I could never watch the 14 final, but I could watch last year's. I did think we were well beaten. For me, it was an easier one to take than 14, because I thought both teams in the final were pretty rubbish. And 14, neither really showed up. Kerry got over the line. Kerry were excellent. Donegal were poor last year. But there's a world where Paddy Clifford's picked up from the start and Donegal still lose the game. It was Sean O'Shea who was left free against Armagh. Donegal were never going to totally abandon the zonal defence. And by the way, Kerry played a hybrid system themselves. And I remember Maurice Brosnan on my podcast before the All-Ireland final, and he goes, I hope what doesn't happen is whoever wins the game, then people say that that's the blueprint now forever. There's clubs up and down the country that have won junior, intermediate and senior championships with zonal defences. Kerry will probably do it again this year. There's some nonsense out there. Kerry's kicked 126 in the All-Ireland final. Two of the points came from progressive kick passes, which is apparently 45 metres or more. So there's a lot of nonsense. To the victors, really.
One point in the semi-final, yeah. Yeah, no, I think maybe just that kind of happened tonight in the press conference, because I don't, there was a massive press corps in Carrigan, Celtic Park, or in Healy Park last week, you know, at the McKenna Cup. So maybe there was a selection of reporters here just wanted to ask questions. It was the first time they probably saw, you know, got an opportunity to speak to Jim since the final here in July. And as you said, like, whatever seems to work in a given year is definitely something that's rolled out. You can see this happens quite a lot. It goes down through the clubs, it goes down through the schools. Sometimes, obviously, you can't replicate it because you're not dealing with the same level of player. But it's just kind of, I think, as Frank said, you know, I think Jim would have dealt with this. He would have spoke to the players. I'm sure he would have lamented it. But I think, you know, he wants to give Salah an aura of positivity and forward-facing, which is probably better off, instead of having headlines about what happened last July here. And you know yourself, the way the world works now, one soundbite, one headline, it's dragged the whole way back. So I think 2026 is where it's at, and the face is going forward.
And culturally, and I'll let you both go, you have a long drive home. Culturally, Donegal's a little bit different. A few people have come up to me and go, why are you not crucifying them on the All-Ireland final? Why are you not? There's only really one county that does that, and that's Kerry. But because culturally, it's nearly sociological at this stage, Kerry's just a different beast in terms of what they've done. Like, Donegal still had a brilliant year last year. Were there mistakes made in the final? Possibly, ostensibly speaking, but
they still lost to a brilliant team, Frank.
Of course, but the knives were out for Kerry at a certain stage last summer as well. I mean, domestically and in-house, there were some former, you know, very big, high-profile ex-Kingdom legends, you know, were going after Jack O'Connor and after his players. But then just in the All-Ireland series, you know, those runs over Tyrone, Armagh, and then Donegal, it almost gave the proverbial two fingers up to their critics. But, I mean, flip that, like, you know, if Kerry had to come out the wrong end of a loss in that All-Ireland final, whatever criticism Donegal got, like Kerry's criticism would have been crazy. So I think what's happened there today is, as Alan pointed out, Jim McGinnis probably repeating himself over these last three or four games, three McKenna Cup games, and that maybe some, you know, the journalists said that it was their first chance to ask those same questions, but he got a wee bit spike. He got a wee bit spike with his answers. But again, I look back on last year and you look at that their final and like Kerry's running power and their directness. You know, and again, it wasn't classic vintage Kerry football at one. It even though it was a spectacular result and a spectacular performance.
So skillful.
Exactly. It was a running game. And listen, like you talk about generational players as well. Like what Kerry were able to do in that their final came down to one man, really. David Clifford, like some of the things he was doing that day, like I spend a lot of time just watching him and Brent McCall that day, and I said, you just can't legislate for that. Like, that doesn't come down to management or tactics. That just comes down to, you know, is he the greatest player to ever play the game? Are we talking about the Michael Jordan of Gaelic football? Like, I don't think I've ever seen anything like it. Like, he's just unbelievable. And to see it in the flesh and to see somebody like Brent McCall just totally engrossed in every second of that game watching him, I mean, that point that they worked towards the end of the first half, like just playing the ball about for 2 minutes and then going and kicking it like a two-pointer. It was huge. No, listen, new year, new slate, and just don't ask Jim McGinnis the same questions twice in a press conference because you're not going to get a good answer.
Yeah, I think he's right, to be honest with you. Final one, very hard crystal ball. I get asked a lot, how do we think Donegal will do this year? I never say win the All-Ireland because, look, we've two in our history. That kind of goes back to our cultural point again. But a few lads have left the panel. I asked Martin McHugh, but it does feel a little bit different to a couple of lads leaving because a couple of young lads, I don't know how many of them are going to start championship, if any, but certainly they're all players definitely for the future. But when you see the likes of Shane Malone, two goals last week, goal tonight, very good to find space. Conor McCahill's a talented player. Kevin Muldoon's really talented. You know, Paul Hare showed really well in the McKenna Cup. Thurlough Carr, Senan Carr, Kieran Gallagher, you know, fabulous club player, was on his travels to Vancouver. And he's not a young fella, but he's young in terms of his county pedigree, which might not be a bad thing. I personally, I'm getting asked a lot, so I suppose we'll answer it. I think Donegal will have a really good year. I think we'll hit quarter semis again. Win it, I don't know. I just don't like saying we're going to win it, because again, we've only two All-Ireland. So I'd be positive overall. That's my early season anti-post prediction.
I think so too, Paddy, because Peter Campbell actually ran through, like, there was 10 debuts in the McKenna Cup. Then we were looking at this game maybe 10 days ago, probably even before the Monaghan game. But you kind of thought when it comes to Croke Park, you would still have as much as you have available kind of thing. And you knew that Gavin Mulroney, for example, would play. Like, the defence was pretty much what you would have had last year. Midfield, and you know, Jason McGee is ahead of where he was at last year. Hugh McFadden is in good form. Michael Langham was brilliant tonight. So
he could be critical if Donegal are going in the long run, because we nearly didn't. He was so stop-start.
Chasing his tail last year and, you know, trying to be fit and just the body, somebody just had to get up to it. He said himself he really only done his pre-season around the time the league ended. Then when you looked at, like, the half-forward line, you had the likes of Shane O'Donnell, Kieran Moore and Darragh Boyle. But tonight, coming to Dublin, the one worry I had was, because last year you had Oisin Gallagher, Michael Murphy, Patrick McBrady, none of them were going to feature tonight. So you knew that probably Shane Malone was going to get the nod, especially after his performance in Oma and even in Carrigan in the first game. And there's an opportunity there. One thing that worried me just coming in tonight, you didn't really have an obvious free taker, you know, compared to having the likes of McBurdy, Gallen and Murphy. Absolutely, yeah. So, but as I said, all those young fellas, you know, they've all kind of knocked on the door. And as you said, they're not all young fellas. Kieran Gallagher, like 27, but I think, like, the Kieran Gallagher story is an inspiration for people of that ilk. Do you know, he came back, as you said, from Vancouver, unbelievable shape, amazing club championship, like the journey he'd come on, and to show that, you know, there's an opportunity for players to do that, you know, that was something we thought had nearly passed players by. where you basically thought, now you have to be in a system from whenever you're 6 years of age. Where, you know, Kieran Gallagher only got a late run tonight. You know, I'm sure we'll see more of him during the league. Just disappointed a little bit. Paul O'Hare was named to start. I'm sure he would have loved a couple of minutes. But look, again, he will get the chance as well. And, you know, I think all those four Masters lads are very exciting players. Turlacara, especially, and Derry was excellent. So I think when Jim McGuinness came back 3 years ago, 2.5 years ago, I don't think he would have thought these sort of lads, you know, at the time, they would have been some of them 17. But they've really kind of developed a new edge for Donegal. And, you know, 10 might come in, as you said, come championship, you might only see two or three. But if you get two or three in every year, and as Frank said, they're like the abilities of Shane Malone in front of goal, you know, there's something different about him, just the way he can find space. You know, we're chatting at halftime, it's the soccer mentality, the way he can finish. And it's really exciting stuff. Like, you know, I'm sure he went to bed last night thinking, God, wouldn't I love just one chance to see how that went. You know, first league start, goal at Hill 16 in Dublin. Hard to beat.
Hard to beat. Last one for you. Honestly, keep it short, Frank. Donegal, are you hopeful? Were you with, or do you think possibly we could have a lull year, which can happen? Where are you looking into your crystal ball with Donegal 2026?
I think they're up, right up there. You know, I think Kerry are a wee bit out in their own at the minute, but, you know, the 3, 4, 5 teams immediately behind that. You know, Jim McGuinness will say there's 8 or 9 sides capable of going all the way, but I think Donegal are right in that their sort of cluster right behind Kerry. Now, it'd be interesting to see, like, you know, targeting a third Ulster Senior Football Championship in a row. They're not in the preliminary round this year. Like, that's a huge ask, but I still know it's a huge incentive for Jim McGuinness. But maybe, if, you know, if they don't place as much emphasis on that, you know, if they don't want an Ulster title, they're still, you know, it's a knit scratch. I think, you know, the All-Ireland series, you know, it's a new format. So I think Donegal will be right up there. Like, you know, it just depends how, like last year I felt the draw was kind in a certain way, you know, in the All-Ireland series. You know, they bait what was in front of them, but it was a nice landing on the way to an All-Ireland final. Maybe people will say maybe they were undercooking into the final because of the media performance. I don't know, but I just think they're right up there. They're gunning for a third title in a row, which will be a story, but a history for Donegal. But in terms of All-Ireland series, yeah, listen, they're that top 3 or 4 sides, I think, definitely, without a doubt.
Gentlemen, Frank and Alan, how's dry January going? Mine's going to be tested now in a half an hour.
I'm actually doing quite well. I was I think it's the easiest month in the calendar to put your head down and take it a bit easy. So
cracking January, Paddy, or February.
We're nearly out the other end of it, so bull a boss for all of us.
I got to the end of January, but it's like hanging on for dear life in the 90th minute here. So Frank Craig and Alan Foley of the Donegal Democrat, lads, thanks so much for joining me here on the Donegal GAA podcast. Okay, it was short and sweet today, but the adverse conditions were something else. It's a good start for Donegal in Division 1 of the National Football League. They've defeated Dublin by 1 goal and 20 points to 20 points. Kerry is up next in Ballyshannon next Sunday at 1:30, and we will have our review podcast a couple of hours after that one. That's it for me, Paddy McGill, for this weekend. A big thanks to all my guests and to you, our loyal listeners, wherever you are tuning in right throughout the globe. And a special word of gratitude to sports editor Austin O'Callaghan. Okay, bye for now. Stay safe, and I'll talk to you next week.